The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Okay, now I have my life together.
I'm just kidding. I never have my life together.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a lie.
Yeah, that's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie. But I'm recording and recording and recording. Are you recording?
I am recording and I am recording.
Okay. How you doing?
Doing good.
Me too. This is Frank in the middle of hectic print schedule to get ready for the weekend. Not shaved.
Yeah.
Middle of the day. Or end of the day.
End of the day. It's just, so you're printing all your Tacoma t-shirts.
I'm printing Tacoma t-shirts as well as some other reprints, which I got right here.
Let me see. Do you print me one of those?
Of course I did. You know, the thing is look at
it. It looks really good.
Thank you. I'm really happy with it. It was a long road to get to this point. But I'm pretty happy with it.
Cool.
But yes, I absolutely. Like, since you've gone down a size, like I usually print you, you know, when you were 4X, I would print those and keep them to the side. But now that you're a regular size, I just forget to give you one.
I know.
And so I owe you like a whole bunch of shirts.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Hey, you give me all the other shirts. So it's a give-give relationship we got going on here.
Give and take.
Give and take. Give and take. But yeah, I'm in the middle of it right now, and
real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I have two 5XL Ranger t-shirts left.
Oh.
And if you want these and you're a big guy or girl, whatever, I have them. They're not on the website, but they're 5XLs, and I will give you a deal. Just message me. And I've got other 5XL shirts too, so I don't post a lot on Instagram, like, so I'm using this. Buy them.
Buy them. Okay. They'll be cheap.
Yes.
Because that's a discontinued design.
It is for now. It just sits in the over here. If I ever bring that design back, I'll probably change the color or something. I don't know.
Yeah, change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, so that's what I've been up to. I'm really glad this is done. I'm still juggling some stuff. It's still gonna be, you know me. I try, but it's gonna be right up to the edge. But well, you know, this comes out Monday, so the weekend's over. You know, rolling the Red Rocks was probably a great time. Everything
it
worked
was,
out.
It was a really good time. I have to go get, it's Tuesday. I picked my Titan up this morning.
Yeah. Is everything good on now?
I'm watching the Cubs game and the Braves just went up 6-7-0.
Oh, gee. That's always fun.
Anyways, I should turn that off.
Don't get distracted.
I know. Don't get distracted by my crappy baseball team. They're not crappy. They're just...
They're scrappy. They're not crappy.
They're actually really doing really good.
That's great.
So I went and picked that up, and it you remember how you said you got in your Titan and it felt all nice and tight?
Uh-huh.
That's how this one feels.
Nice. Nice.
You would think that I would do this before we drove it across the country.
You mean 5,000 miles?
Yeah. The AC blows cold.
Nice.
Yeah, everything's good. It rides really, really nice. So I'm just the whole way home, I'm just like, man, this would have been really nice driving this to North Carolina. Like, this is so stupid.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We just go through life at our own pace, and it's all right. But cool.
Arlo said something funny when I first took it over there before we left to North Carolina to get a couple things done. He goes, yeah, the alignment shop said you probably need new ball joints, new this, new that, new this. So when I took it there afterwards, he's like, this is what it costs. It's going to be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He's like, but he goes, you buy once, cry once. And I
You told me that earlier. That's a good saying.
It is a good saying. And I go, like, yeah, that's true. I was like, just do it.
Yeah, because just you could be crying on the side of the road.
Or you could just, it's like, it's stuff that needs to be fixed anyways. Just get it all done at one time.
Yeah.
Because it actually makes the labor probably a little bit cheaper, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, if they're already in there doing stuff, you know,
yeah,
might as well get it all done. So was it, I don't know why I keep on fixating on this, but was it the condenser that went bad on the...
Yeah, the rock hit it. So like, it just sits right behind the bumper valance. So the holes...
Why did I think it was up on the firewall?
No.
So it's behind the bumper.
Yeah, it's just right. It's the condenser. It sits right in front of your radiator. So,
oh yeah, it's like long and skinny.
Yeah. So rock, the rock comes up and hits just the right spot, puts a hole in it, and that's what it did.
That's probably what happened. That 40 was not kind to us on the way out, and it must have happened right as we were getting there because it was working just fine, and then all of a sudden the next morning it was not.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So yeah, it's all nice now. It's ready for another. However many miles that motor and transmission wants to give me.
Just keep on trucking.
Yeah. It was funny. Did you watch that Instagram story that I did? And it showed the blue body drop truck sitting in the driveway.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
So I've been watching F-250 and F-350 review videos. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to watch those for the next 3 years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I was just randomly watching it. And this guy's just pulling up in his street to his house talking about how the truck's driving. And I was like, oh, body drop truck.
That's
and
cool.
Then someone just hit me up right now. They're like, yeah, that's so-and-so from Severed or whatever.
Oh, that's cool. From where? What state?
Denver.
Oh, Denver. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Snuggles up in Denver.
Oh, yeah. Brand. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. That's cool. That's always kind of neat to come across.
Yeah, I guess the YouTuber guy has a pretty popular YouTube channel, so they know him in the neighborhood.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. So you're all into F-350s, the 1-ton, 3/4-ton trucks.
3/4-ton or 1-ton, the gas motor. Mm-hmm. Just doing all my research and just trying to find out what is going to be, if I do buy a new truck, what is going to make the most sense.
Right.
You know, because, and then now I'm just like looking at, because I don't want a diesel. I don't need a diesel. I don't tow enough. You know what I mean? Like that truck tows 14,000 pounds or 15,000 pounds. No, 18,000 pounds. I don't know what it is.
Wow.
But it's like, yeah, it's going to get crappy gas mileage being a gas motor. And if you're towing 14,000 pounds, but at the same time, like you don't need to replace fuel filters every single time you get every other two oil changes. You don't need
that's true. The whole DEF system thing.
That whole thing. And just diesel trucks are just not the same as what they used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and gas trucks, they make really good gas motors now. So
my family has a 2000 F-350 dually. That's the 7.3 power stroke. And that thing is still rolling around.
Yeah. I just got a phone with Eric from our club. Mm-hmm. And he's buying a 2004 Chevy 2500 diesel.
Nice. What is Eric not into at any given moment?
Well, he's getting rid of some stuff. And then he's just buying that because the Tahoe tows, but he wants something that's going to tow reliably. And that would be it. And that's before all the changes, you know, so
yeah,
it'll be a good truck.
And he's
getting it really cheap. So
nice. Nice. What year did you say he was?
I missed that part. 04.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Those are really good years.
I've had a nice week with the Tundra.
Yeah. How's it been going? Oh, dude, you guys getting situated?
Oh yeah. It's sometimes I'm driving. I'm like, what? I can't. This is too much.
I was waiting for it to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been really fun. It's been a good week.
Yeah. So are you taking that to Utah or not taking that to Utah?
No. Going to roll the Titan.
You're like saying bye to it. Like it's like a child you're leaving for the first time, you know?
So I tried not to put it out like on Instagram and be obnoxious, but I've been sending Angie, like I took it to go get washed the other day. I'm all baby's first bath. Like I'm telling you that I'm going to be that person who like takes pictures of their vehicle, like in different places. And like,
oh, I know when like, you, it's like a when child. When you and your, was it brother-in-law?
Or, yeah. I was going to say that. Yeah.
When you guys, I was laughing so hard. It was so funny. I was like, you guys are so stupid.
Hey, I'm going to say stupid, charming, quaint.
Toyota, and you guys just did like the thing. Like I was like,
I was planning that like a long time ago.
Oh yeah, I know.
Last Sunday was Mother's Day, and my sister and brother in law were in. He has a, I don't know what year it is, but it's a I don't know. It's like a 22 or 23. I don't know. It's a Tacoma. It's the whatever gen that is. Are there still third gens? What are those?
I think
it's a third gen because we're on the fourth gen Tacoma currently in 24, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Anyway, it's the one before the newest one. That's the one he has. And it's white, and it's a four-door, and it's a TRD off-road. So, like, I thought it was kind of cool. Like, I was like, hey, check this out. We got these two trucks. And, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm going to be doing from now on. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry. if you can. If you get annoyed,
you don't have to apologize, but we will be laughing at you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's perfect.
Because
yeah,
I would do the same thing.
Yeah, that's perfectly
just
fine.
Just wait till I'm trying. That's why I can't find, like, where's my Mav gang at?
I know, yeah. Right?
Yeah, trying to get everyone in a Maverick over here.
Yeah, see, and we were doing that, like, we do that anyway. Anytime you see a Maverick or any one of us in the group sees a Maverick, we're like, hey, check that out. That's pretty cool.
Mav gang. Yeah, Mav now gang. They're everywhere, so it's not as special.
What would be the Tundra? Tundra, I don't know, whatever. Toyota. So
nerds. Toyota. Toyota nerds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because Jose in the club has coined Toyota Dudes, and he runs that Instagram.
Yeah.
And so Toyota Nerds, I like that.
Well, Toyota, like, it's just funny, like, the Toyota, you know, you and your brother-in-law with the two Toyota, it just doesn't have the same presence as, like, two dudes with older Chevys or something like that.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it just cracked me.
I don't know if you noticed I'm playing around with a hashtag.
Uh-uh.
Toyotas only.
Oh yeah, so stupid.
Hey man, watch out for merch, here it comes.
Just on eBay. It's the eBay merch. It's the merch that it's on those Chinese websites.
Hey, Temu or something,
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
TikTok shop. You're on the TikTok shop.
I'm testing some stuff out. Wait until I start creating, because, like, you know, I've put the Forerunner on a bunch of different shirts and stuff like that, and stickers, yeah, and all sorts of things. Wait till the Tundra merch starts coming out.
Yeah, you'll sell at least three T-shirts.
At least three of them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
for my own amusement.
I also like how you've thought about already making Tundra merch, but not given any love to the truck that gave you 210,000 miles of driving cross country, and you've never once thought about making a Nissan a merch shirt.
Well, we kind of did. Like, we were thinking about making a drop shirt, kind of like including the Titans in them. So that's not off the table. It's not.
Yeah, but you're not Toyota only. You're like, that's a lie. So take that hashtag, throw it in the trash. Because
one out of the fleet isn't a Toyota.
Yeah,
the Titan. But the Titan is its own
fleet.
Thing.
The fleet of three.
Hey man.
Just kidding. I'm working on my Fords only.
Yeah, I know. You're kind of like you're taking a different route.
Yeah.
Oh, well, pretty soon it's just going to be the
Toyota
Tacoma.
Made a 3/4 ton, then I would buy it. Hmm. And I'm still like on the fence of what I'm going to do. I just don't want to get a half ton and then go, oh, this would be really cool if we could tow both of our trucks cross country.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're the same price. Like, it's the same price to buy a 3/4 ton. Four-wheel drive F-250 that's got a bigger bed in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like...
They're about the same price?
Yeah, they're almost... It's like, for the one that I priced out the other day, it was like $58,000 or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty comparable.
Yeah, and that's... And you can get them even cheaper than that, too. Like, it's just... It's like... cheaper.
So I know. It's all relative. That's the way I was thinking about it. You know, I was thinking about all this, the trucks and everything, the pricing, and it's all relative, really. You know what I mean?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, it's like we are comparing these trucks to trucks that were a few years ago. It's just, it's not the same anymore.
Well, no, it's not. But at the same time, they are still astronomically expensive, and they're astronomically overpriced. Regardless of what it is, you know, when you're talking about a Toyota Tacoma TRD Pro that's starting at $65,000, well, I mean, and here's an interesting topic that if people want to dive into, they can do their own diving into, but The Chinese, you know, we're trying to get them not to sell their electric cars here.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah, because they're insanely cheap. And they're not cheaply made. They're very nice cars. And Ford, Chevy, like, if they are allowed to be to come into the United States, it will...
like, decimate the markets.
Will decimate the corporate greed.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it'll make these, like, they're going to have to cut something, and it's going to have to be their profits. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just like, so they're right now, they're trying to figure out how to not let that happen because they, in fact, look at this picture right here. This is the first, there's two or three big companies in China that it, that are really interesting. One of them is BYD. So 500 miles of combined range, the Chinese Shark is set to conquer global markets. That's the Chinese truck.
Oh, wow. That's actually really good looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real good looking.
Yeah, and it's like, I forgot what the...
You're going to have to throw it up on the screen. So that
yeah, well, it's a Chinese giant BYD unveiled its first pickup truck, dubbed Shark, an exclusive event in Mexico City. So they're building these things in Mexico. That's how they're trying to get around the tariffs and stuff like that. But they're supposed to be announcing tariffs next week or something on these things. They're just cheap. But again, they're not like cheaply made. So
yeah, anyways. It'd be interesting to see where everything goes.
Yeah, Motor Trend did a really good documentary on this whole thing. Maybe I'll put a link in this bio or whatever. It's really interesting about how they're trying to make put plants in Mexico to build Chinese trucks in Mexico in order to get them here because we don't import Chinese cars or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Other than that, so last week we were talking, we kind of touched on the subject, and I figured we could dive into a little more now that we've had some... You know, you had some time to look at it. I haven't gotten wine yet, so I kind of flying blind here, but the new Mini Truck and Magazine.
Why don't we wait until you actually get it in your hand?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we could do that.
Because I'm sure you've already ordered it, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
No, I'll bring, if you haven't, I'll bring mine this weekend and just
give it to you. Oh, that's a good
idea. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then I could thumb through it. Okay, well, then that ruins the whole conversation we were about to have. All right, bye, everybody.
It's hard to have that conversation without actually having
it. No, yeah, I know. I was, like, trying to figure out, like, I was even going to have like someone just like take photos of each page.
No, you got to hold it.
I guess. Yeah, that's part of the process is holding it. And
just actually and part of the process is like getting it in the mail.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know if you've ever subscribed to the old Mini Truck and Magazine or you bought it at the store.
No, I subscribed to all of them and I was subscribed to Truckin' up until that was not a thing anymore.
What's funny is I wasn't. I always bought them in the store for some reason.
Oh, really?
I like to pay more money for them. I don't know.
Yeah, but, maybe it's like a ritual thing.
I think it was. I think it was like, I remember going to the grocery store with my mom and I would just sit at the magazine aisle while she went grocery shopping and just thumb through magazines. So that was my thing. And then buying them in grocery stores also is like, it's supports the magazine a little bit more. Not that I was doing it to support the magazine, but store sales do a lot better for magazines than subscriptions do.
You know, but, what's interesting. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, but this one's only subscription. So,
yeah. What's interesting is someone made a comment that this was the first magazine that they've ever subscribed to. So I wonder.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting, too, because there might be some people who are now, you know, coming. We have to think that now Mini Trucking has been gone for 10 years, you know, and then 10 years ago, some people might have been 10 years old and not really, you know, into magazines in general, but now coming into their, you know, young adulthood, never have subscribed to any kind of magazine before. Yeah. So that's another interesting way to look at it.
Or even if they're older, they just might have not subscribed to magazines at all because they were available in the stores.
Well, that was what you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we'll dive into that a little later then.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when we talk about Roland and the Red Rocks. I'm looking forward to rolling in the Red Rocks.
Me too.
Because I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to sit in my booth and just do nothing.
Well, I'm glad Graham hears that after the show. Sorry, Graham.
I'm taking a break.
I'm taking a different approach too, but you go ahead.
It's been a long few weekends of just nonstop, you know, filming. And I want to do something where it's like, I was going to look at my calendar here and it's just like we done, what was it? April, So April 13th, we were at Havasu Meltdown. Mm-hmm. April 20th, we were at Mini Truckin' Nats. Mm-hmm. And then the next weekend, I was at Truckin' for Kids. And then the next weekend was Cruise to the Pines. And then mm-hmm. the last weekend, I was at C10 Nationals. And mm-hmm. I was filming every single one. And it's like...
Oh, you went hard and you did them all, huh?
Oh, every single one. You know, wow. Some were jobs, some weren't jobs, but they were just like, yeah, we filmed
it. Every single event.
Every single event.
I thought you meant when you were at C10 Nationals, you just filmed everything like we did that down in Tennessee.
I did.
Yeah.
So
you did that too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So like, I'm just like beat. I'm like, I just want to use the show to kind of wind down. And I told Graham that, so.
Yeah, I'm taking a different, I'm also looking forward to it because this show is like a little reward after all of these shows because we're going to be inside. It's going to be chill. It's going to be nice. We can see all of our local friends.
We don't got to worry about weather. We don't have to worry about getting the booth staked down. We don't have to worry about finding a water faucet to fill our bags up. Like, yeah,
it's going
to
be chill.
That is a good way to put it. This is like a reward. Thanks, Graham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Graham, for taking it easy on us.
He doesn't listen to this, but it doesn't matter.
Yes, he does. You do. Yes, you do.
I don't think he does.
No, I don't think he does either. But but no, I'm taking a different approach at it. You know, he hit me up a few months ago, you know, wanting footage and stuff to put on Instagram and chop up. And the only thing I could offer him was, you know, like YouTube horizontal type footage, which is okay for, you know, it's okay. It works. And he got his stuff out there. But I'm going to take a different approach at it for him, kind of like doing a lot of like mobile stuff. So he'll have a whole bunch of footage that, you know, he can use. Like, I'll make stuff too. I'll make reels and, you know, I'm going to make my own kind of content. But also there's going to be like a stock of footage for him to use to promote the show.
So oh, you just use the pocket and just use it.
I'm just going to rock the pocket pretty much all weekend, you know, and I'm just going to just film it that way.
That's a good idea. I mean, that stuff's more useful to sometimes to a show promoter than anything else.
And that's what I figured. That's what I figured. Because, you know, this is our, third or fourth year, I don't know, for third or fourth year going to
third
the show.
Year.
And so we've already made a video of every single one, so I want to just try a different approach at it. I do want to try something out. I'm a little nervous about it, and I got to see if I'm going to test it, if I have a few minutes, I don't know. But I'm thinking about putting the pocket on the back of one of the vehicles and then do like that type of rolling footage like you're seeing a lot on TikTok, where you're like inside the vehicle and you're using your phone to like frame it up and everything like that. And so I want to do like a little hybrid thing where I put on the back of the vehicle, film the rollers like that, but then sit in the vehicle with my big camera and like get nice zoomed in shots of like wheels and people driving and then, you know, have this nice mix of footage.
Yeah, but the you'd have to have somebody tracking the pocket.
Yeah, well, I could do that in the vehicle. Like
if you're going to be filming on your camera, are you going to have time to like go back and forth?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Because the car you're filming on your with the pocket that's behind you, you're also going to film it with your thing, and then the next car's right behind it.
That's true. We're going to see. Yeah, it's going to be a grand experiment. I'm just nervous about sticking the pocket on the back of the vehicle.
Just tie it. Just tie it down.
Yeah, this is what I was thinking with some string or something.
Yeah, just use some string and tie it up and over into the tailgate area of whatever vehicle. Mm-hmm. And because that remember that big suction cup that I have that I was showing you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That is the one. That's the one that they use.
That's the one that they use, yeah. Because that's like the no mess around suction cup.
Okay, because I was going to use my little GoPro one.
Oh, God. No. I've had so many of those fall off.
I know. That's why I was nervous. Yeah, but I forgot that you
had one. I can bring that one.
Yeah.
And then suck it back there and like, yeah. Because that's how they're getting those shots. They're tracking mm-hmm. them. Like you put that little square boom, like that. Mm-hmm. around the vehicle, and then it follows the vehicle. But the problem with that is that vehicle goes, and then I don't know where the pocket would end up. Would it go back to the car behind it or something?
I think when I've noticed that when it tracks and it just hits the end point, it just stops.
Yeah.
And I think you have to put, I just floating.
That's a good idea. Like, because those roller videos are freaking cool. I like the random ones where he's just like, it's a minivan.
They're
or
so
it's
good.
Like whatever.
There's like a minivan with like 12 ladders stacked up on top of it.
And honestly, that's the way to practice. Like, go put thing on the thing and then go do it. And it's so funny because we never do that. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll be like, I need to practice this thing. And it's like, it doesn't have to be a custom car that we're filming to practice. It could just be, we just put on the thing, drive down the road and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my approach. Going to be my approach to the show this weekend. I'm just like I said, you know, I'm just gearing up towards it. I got to make a little detour Friday morning. 100 miles.
Yeah, literally. I was thinking about that too. You're going to have the empty car trailer.
Yep.
And you're going to have all your boxes in the bed of your truck.
Yep.
And then you're going to have to find someone to put all my boxes.
Oh, that's right.
So you have straps. So you're going to have to probably stack my boxes on top of your boxes and then strap them up and over. Mm-hmm. Or you can strap them on the trailer. However,
I could just load them. Stack.
It's not like it's a million boxes. It'll probably be four or five boxes. So like those should stack right on top of your boxes and then you can just run things over.
We can handle it. I've totally forgot about that, but I can handle it.
And then your trailer is actually being towed by Will Rucker.
Oh, really?
With his Tundra. And I'm towing Will Rucker. I'm towing Milan's trailer with Rucker's XB on it. Because I guess Will Rucker put a step notch or a C notch in his Tundra, his lowered standard cab Tundra. So when he puts something too heavy on it, it rides too rough or something like that.
Oh, I see. So then he's going to carry the vendor trailer. And then he's taking the flatbed back and then you're taking his XB.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like a team effort over here.
I love teamwork, man.
Yeah, me too.
I love it when it all comes together and everything works.
Yeah.
So. We have chicken to look forward to.
Yeah, Friday night chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there should be like a ritual.
It basically is.
Well, for everybody, so we could be like, hey, we're going to Houston's Hot Chicken Friday night. We should put that out to the universe.
Yeah, not now because the show's over.
But before the show, right now on Instagram, the drop, on Custom Life, on Grindr TV, we'll be like, if you're going to Rollin' Red Rocks, Friday night, Houston's Hot Chicken, meet us there.
That's a cool idea.
Something like that.
Yeah, we should totally do that.
Yep. And then I had an interesting weekend, though.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
So I went to C10 Nationals, which is in Dallas at the Texas Motor Speedway. I flew out Thursday and I was like, you know what? Usually I will fly out early in the morning, but this time I was like, I'm not going to fly out early in the morning because I get there, I have nothing to do. And I was going by myself this time. No Frank, no Chupas. So I was just like, just me. And not that like I don't have friends in Dallas that I could go hang out with or anything, but it is. So I was like, I'm just going to get a late flight. So it was like 6 p.m. Phoenix time to board the plane. Then it got delayed till 7 because there were storms in Dallas.
Oh, man.
So I was like, whatever. So I get out there. I get on the plane. I land and they're like, we don't have a gate because I guess with all the storms, it delayed every flight leaving and every flight coming in. So there was planes landing like crazy and taking off like crazy. But I was like, whatever, it doesn't matter. So I think by the time I finally got off the plane, it was midnight.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah. But
that is a long time.
But it was 2 hours ahead. So it wasn't like six. It wasn't like
6 hours.
It was like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So and I was like, all right. So at Dallas, you have to get on a bus to go to the rental car place. So I like went, got my bag, went down outside. This rental bus shows up. It's full. And there are a ton of people waiting to get to the rental car center because all these planes over the country has just landed into the airport. Another rental bus comes up. Everyone bum rushes it. And it like passed me. So I was standing in one area and it like passed me to the people that had just started lining up. So all the people that were waiting for the bus, because where the other first bus stopped, that's where we lined up. Cause we're like, that's where the buses stop. Nope. This bus passed us right up. So we all looked down. And everyone rushed it and it got full.
Oh man, that's a bummer.
So then another bus came and we finally got on that. So that's the third bus. So now I'm in my brain, I'm like, all these people that were on this bus, the two buses in front of me are now in line at the rental center.
Yeah.
I was like, this will be a long night.
Yeah.
So I get to the rental center and there are lines at every company's thing. I was at Budget. There was a line at Dollar, a line at Enterprise was closed for some reason. There was a line somewhere else, a line here. I think I waited an hour and a half and I finally got up to the counter.
Jeez.
And I was being the lady there. She had been working for probably since like 2 p.m, I think. And I was super nice to her. Some lady behind me was like really rude. And then I was nice. I was like, yeah, that sucks. People are rude. Da, 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 da. And she was like, oh, you're so nice. So she gave me an upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
To an SUV. And I was like, sweet. Thank you so much. pays off to be nice. Don't be mean to people. Always be nice. Anyways, so now I'm like, cool. She's like, okay, go out to this door and then go to the red tent. And usually when you do this, you go to the red tent and then they just say, all right, go to parking stall D3 and take your car, because the keys are always in all these cars. Mm-hmm. I walk out of the door into this parking garage and the same amount of people that were standing in front of me are now standing in line waiting for a rental car.
Oh my gosh.
They had no cars.
Wow.
There was no cars to rent. There was like, they were coming in after being washed and like people were getting in them. And like the lady that was handing out the car, she's like, does anyone want a 12 passenger van? And like this, they were just giving whatever they had. Mm-hmm. Some one lady like rocked out of this place with a 12 passenger van just by herself. Whatever. Yep.
That's awesome.
The guy in front of me. So in the middle of the first line that I was in, this lady gets up and she goes, we have no more one-way rentals. If you're here for a one-way rental, we cannot rent you the car. You have to bring it back here. And so the guy that was in front of me outside, he goes, yeah, I missed my connecting flight. And so I'm just renting a car and driving home. He goes, wow. Everything's a one-way rental if you don't bring it back. But it's like a $600 penalty or whatever. But he was like, I don't care, I'm driving home.
Wow.
So we're barely moving. I think we moved like 25 feet and there's still like, there's no cars. I was like, I'm going to Uber to my hotel. It was like 3:45 in the morning.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, I should have just Ubered to the hotel and then Ubered back there and got a car in the morning, all this stuff. And then finally the lady was like, hey, the next car is an EV. Does anyone want it?
Dropping.
And no, and like, no, I was like, I'll take it. I was like, does it have a charge? And she's like, there's 190 miles on it. And I was like, I'll take it. No one else in front of me wanted this damn thing.
Really?
And I was like,
interesting.
I was like, it's a car. It's not like whatever. So I get in this thing. It's got all the same controls as the Maverick.
Because
it was a Mustang Mach-E.
Mach-E, yeah.
So it had the same shifter dial, the same steering wheel dials.
You're at home.
I was like, I put that thing in drive, took the e-brake off, and the guys that were standing in around me, I was like, later. Just took off.
That's awesome.
And it was interesting. It was first time in a full electric vehicle.
How was it?
And it was the same as driving a regular car. Like, yeah. There was nothing different about anything until I started messing with stuff. Cause I was like, oh, well, and then, this isn't an EV thing, but I did the Blue Cruise, which is Ford's version of self-driving.
Oh, okay.
So like, hands off the steering wheel, hands on pedal and everything. You're just like this.
You're just chilling.
Yeah. And it usually in your car, your truck, in Chelsea's car, like adaptive cruise control, mm-hmm. you can take your hands off the steering wheel for like 15 seconds, but then you have to put them back on. It'll tell if your hands are on the steering wheel by the resistance of the mm-hmm. the thing, but it'll still guide you. Like if you're in the lane, like your truck will guide you around a lane. So it'll steer. If you let off you haven't done it yet.
I haven't done it. I finally found it. Cause you mentioned that last time about that. Cause I just thought, you know, I was thinking that what you were talking about is what you're describing with this Mach-E.
The Blue Cruise. No. So you have lane assist, which will keep you in the lane.
Uh huh.
And then you have adaptive cruise control, which will, if you set your cruise control for 80 and you come up on a car that's doing 70, it will buffer and it'll stay behind at 70. And then when that car moves out of the way, your truck detects it and it will go back to 80.
That's so cool. I've not messed with that yet. But
now, this is the other thing you could mess with, and it's real scary the first time you do it,
uh-huh.
is go down Bear Valley Road, set your cruise control to 40.
Oh.
And then when you come up on a light and there's someone stopped in front of you, don't do anything.
Oh my God. That's freaking me out just thinking about it.
Yeah. The car will stop for you.
That's crazy.
It'll just stop right behind the car for you. And then
when you don't touch
the brake or nothing. You're just off the brake and gas. And then when the car leaves, some vehicles, I don't know how Toyota is, but like Chelsea Civic, you just tap the gas pedal and it will go right back up. Like you just tap it and then that's it. You don't have to do anything. And it'll just tail the car behind. Or tail the car in front of you until you're up to 40 and it'll just keep doing this.
That's crazy.
And then lane assist is the same thing on your truck. Yeah. It'll steer for you, but you can only have your hands off the steering wheel for so long. And then it flashes like put your hands back on the steering wheel. Well, the Blue Cruise is different. It's a step above that.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Tesla thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it, well, but on the Ford one, Teslas don't have this, but the Ford one has a little thing and it sees your eyeballs.
Oh, no way.
And if you're looking away for so long, it'll say, look at the road.
Really?
So if you're like looking at your phone, it knows you're looking away.
Or taking a nap.
Or sleeping. Yeah. But this is the first time that I like had hands off the wheel and like I came up on a motorcycle and I was like, well, I want to pass it. So I hit the left blinker and the car moved over for me.
Wow.
Past the vehicle. And then I put the right blinker on and it got over again. So it was like doing all these things for me. And I know there's probably some people listening that have done this before, but I've never done this.
Oh, yeah. We're too. The stuff we have, like this new stuff is like rocket ship stuff, right?
Compared to what, yeah. Our Titans don't even have backup cameras. All right?
Yeah, I know. I still don't look at it sometimes. Put it in reverse. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Just wait. So now it's like using the backup camera is all I use. Because mine has that detect. So if a car's coming, it'll flash and makes noises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the Blue Cruise. So then when I was like on the Ford website, well, I'm like, I have like all this stuff open. Hold on.
Oh, and it's on in the frame.
Yeah.
Everybody's just checking out all your tabs.
Yeah. So I had, what was I saying? Oh, when I was building the F-250, I was like, oh, Blue Cruise, it comes on those cars.
Oh, wow.
But it's subscription based. Mm. So you buy a 90-day trial and or a 2 or 3 year plan. Like it's not a permanent thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like $3,000.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
All these things, like Tesla's the same way. It's like if you want full auto driving, I think Tesla's is 10 grand.
That's crazy.
But it's for the lifetime of the car. And it's non-transferable. I know Teslas are non-transferable. So if you get in, if you sell your car, like if you buy a Tesla and you buy the auto driving for 10 grand, and then you sell your Tesla and then you buy a new Tesla.
It just switches over.
You have to spend the 10 grand again.
Oh, you have to spend it again. Oh, yeah, it's non-transferable. Okay, I see. I thought you meant it was like non-transferable to the, you mean it's just non-transferable to a new vehicle. But like if you sold, but wait a minute. So if you had a Tesla and you paid for it and you sold it to a person, does that person get it or no?
No.
Oh, so then what? So what do they prorate you at least? Like,
no, I don't think so. I know that they just did a big thing where they gave everyone full self-driving for free, but I think it's not forever because they're trying to promote it and they were trying to pump their stocks and stuff recently. So they were trying to promote this deal. So I don't know. It's weird. The subscription-based stuff is weird in a vehicle.
You should probably talk to Sinner about all this stuff, right?
He bought the full self-driving.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then also there's subscription-based stuff for like speakers and like to unlock. I don't know. Not yet. Oh.
Not yet.
People were saying they could do that.
BMW was floating the idea of subscription-based heated seats.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting, but the they're already there. Like, you have.
They're in the car.
They're in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think people are going to figure out a way to hack the crap out of that?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, if you have heated seats. You're just waiting for this, like, but what I know in the EV world, and I don't know if this is in any other cars, but they are talking about like subscription based horsepower gains.
Oh,
so you pay every car is the same. It's got the same motor, same batteries, same everything. This is all software based stuff. So if you want like the fastest version of your car,
you have to
subscribe to it,
which
is insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a different world, man.
I don't know how that's going to float. I don't think it's going to do well. I think some subscription-based stuff will be fine. And I think as younger people get used to subscription-based stuff, then it'll work. But like, I would never, if I bought a car and they were like, yeah, you have to subscribe to the heated seats.
Right,
I would not buy that car.
Right.
You know, I would go buy the competition's car where I just got them in a package.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think there is a, I would be brand loyal to something that would do that. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, for sure. It's a really weird thing to kind of like wrap your head around. But what'd you think about the car overall for your first?
It was great. Like I switched it to one pedal drive. So one pedal drive is where if you put it in drive, the car doesn't move until you touch the accelerator pedal. If you don't have it in one pedal drive, it's like anything else.
It just starts rolling.
You let off the brake and you start rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But with one pedal drive, you never have to touch the brake pedal. So you
just, when you let off, it just starts slowing
it
just, down.
It starts, it stops. Like you let off the gas and it's like you hit the brake. In some cars you can adjust how aggressive it is, but this one was just single, had just a single thing. But yeah, so I was like, I want to try this because I've never tried it. And I've always heard about it. So I was just putting around.
That's cool. Did you have to charge it?
Mm-mm.
No, you just ran on whatever charge it had.
Yeah, and then it just charged my batteries. It was like driving a big battery charger.
Yeah, that's right. Works out good.
Yeah.
I saw the photo of your mobile office, so that makes a lot of sense.
It was cool. And then like you can watch YouTube and stuff. So it's like you hit entertainment, and I was just sitting in there with the AC on.
I saw that.
Watching YouTube.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, man. I haven't experienced that yet. The closest I've ever got is your Maverick, which was a hybrid. That's the closest I've ever gotten.
It's their fastest. This one has there was three modes: whisper, I forgot what the middle mode was, and then I was like, oh, there's another mode, and it was called unbridled.
So like, damn.
I hit that mode, and then I made a right out of the raceway, and I was like, let's see what this does. And it was this feel. It was just the weirdest feeling that I've never had before. I mean, you felt it in Adam's car.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that in his Tesla when he did it, but. It almost feels like you're in control, but it just feels like, I don't know.
Just raw power, basically.
Yeah, just instantaneous, just like, I don't know, with crazy. No sound, just the wind, just like a spaceship.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Well, that's cool. So how was the show overall? Just a normal C10 show?
Yeah, just pretty much the same as Nashville.
Yeah.
It was really big. A lot of the weather was really good. I saw Ed out there.
Oh.
From our club. Mm-hmm. And then,
that's cool.
It was really good. And then what else was I going to say? Oh, funny story. I flew a lot last year, so I got a lot of like points and miles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this, another first that happened to me was I got, now like it automatically requests an upgrade when I book a plane ticket. So if there's room in first class, it'll bump me to first class.
Oh, really? Wow.
And it didn't on the way there, but on the way home it did.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I got to fly in first class for the first time in my entire life.
Wow. That's cool.
And it was comfy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've only flown once, so. And you know what was funny? After doing like, you go your, like I never flown before until last, you know, November when I did, or whenever we did. So I'm thinking like first class is like this like special thing. And then when I got on the plane experience there for the first time, I'm all, that's it. Like, that's it. It's just in the front of the plane. Like I thought it was more kind of exclusive and like, no, it's right there. And then if you sit in first class, you got to look at all the mouth breathers walking by.
All the peasants. I was like looking down.
Which I made it a point to kind of like linger a little more like, anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think the benefit is it's like free drinks.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Then they serve you drinks as soon as you get on the plane. Like they stop the people from boarding and then they ask you, everyone in first, like, hey, orange juice? Like it was early in the morning for me. They're like, orange juice, water? And I was like, no, I'm good. But yeah, and then obviously first boarding, first off. And I don't know. It's cool.
Cool experience. Right on.
Well, like, yeah, it was a really fun weekend. And
yeah. Buc-ee's?
I got to eat Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
That's
That's always a bonus.
And I got to see Lonnie and Radar and Christelle from Garage Gear, hung out with them for quite a bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did they vendor or they were just hanging out?
No, they were vendor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, that's cool, man. Well, we do have some residual questions left over from a couple weeks ago. We did one that was all mini Nats based questions.
Should we do the dropping in music?
Yeah, drop it in.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Drop!
Okay.
And drop.
Drop it in.
Drop in.
Drop.
I dropped everything. I knew the drops would come.
Drop it!
Drop!
Oh, I started again. Oh, anyway. So you want to hear, here's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I went to put ND filters right now on the pocket right before this because I feel like it's really overexposed. So I wanted to like keep the shutter from adjusting automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I have NDs. I'll put an ND filter on and see what it does. I bought these when I first bought the Pocket, but I've never used them. These are not Pocket 3 NDs.
Oh, they're not?
No, they sent me Pocket 2 NDs.
Oh, and they're not magnet sticky or like?
They are. They're just smaller.
Oh, they don't cover the whole lens?
They don't cover the whole thing. Oh. So I was like, went on the Amazon link that I bought it from, and all the reviews were like, hey, guys, these are not Pocket 3 NDs, and it still says Pocket 3 NDs.
That's funny.
So
that's a bummer.
Stupid.
It's dumb.
Anyways, what's the question?
So we got to actually, we got a kind of a twofer, but it's the same thing, and I feel like there's an underlying theme going on. This is both people from the club. This is Glenn and Kim. And they asked separately, which I don't know if they knew they asked separately, but they asked separately, but the same thing. So I'm wondering where this is all stemming from. So we'll start there. So Glenn asks, new question and mostly your opinion. What makes a car Mini inspired? Also, what kind of vehicles do you see overseas that you wish we had over here to customize? Well, let's forget that second part. The first part. What makes a car Mini inspired? Because Kim asked... and also Glenn and Kim are a couple that
Glenn is a previous guest
and Glenn is a I'm just saying, I'm just putting all this into context because this two separate messages, but it's the same thing. Because Kim asked, do you think cars should be a part of the Mini truck and family? We had a few people say our car is not a Mini truck, kind of like duh, but it's still a good question. And then her second question is a car easier to bag than a truck? Now to give context, like I said, Glenn and Kim are a couple. They have a Honda Accord, two door, right? That was built many, many years ago, but it's still a really cool car. And they've taken the car and they've like refurbished a few things and added some graphics on the roof. So that gives context to the whole thing.
Yeah.
So now I'm guessing that and also they took it to Mini Nats.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing at Mini Nats, maybe someone made some comments about cars being mini trucks or Mini truck inspired or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. Mini truck inspired. It's
kind of a weird thing.
It is. We did it with Grindr magazine. Mm-hmm. You know, we wanted to put mini truck inspired because that was a big thing back then. It was there was imports like the Hot Import Night style. And then there was the mini truck inspired imports, which were more adjustable suspension, body mods, custom paint,
chrome wheels in that time, chrome wheels, not chrome like wheels. Tuner wheels.
Yeah. Like it was just like a mini truck mods, but done on a car.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they 100% belong in the mini trucking world, you know, like, and the other part of it, the bag thing and the easier to bag, they're 100% easier to bag.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. That's
I completely agree. I just thought it was a good question, a good thing to talk about because it has been a thing ever since we've kind of been doing this. There's always been people building cars, and you know, and even it bleeds over into like full size trucks too, because you get a lot of people. You get some people say, well, those aren't mini trucks, but I still consider them part of the space, like part of the culture. I think that's like the more, you know, the better way to put it is we're not talking about literal mini trucks. Because if we were talking about literal mini trucks, then we couldn't include, you know, and we've had this conversation before about mid-sized trucks, full-sized trucks and cars and everything like that. But mini trucking is a culture more than anything, I think. It's born out of a literal mini truck, customizing one of those. But I think what we do on this podcast every week and every show that we go to, and basically our entire, what we've developed our lives into, is just a culture.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the cars fit in just as equal as full-size trucks, or even, you know, there was that time, you know, a long time ago when everybody's building Cadillacs and hot rods, you know, and but C-10. Still going, or C-10s, and still going to mini truck shows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's like, I get this with our show a lot. Cause it's like, I'm just like, this is a mini truck show. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get people sending me pictures of their like body dropped Ford F-100. And they're like, is this cool? I'm like, yes. but I get it. If you don't understand what mini trucking is, then you might think, oh, that show only allows mini trucks. So yeah, mini truck inspired is like, it's hard to define it, but you would just kind of have to know. So yeah, I think Glenn and Kim's car is a definition of mini truck inspired.
It is a cool,
besides very it cool doesn't car. Have body mods, like, you know what I mean? But it is bagged and it lays pretty low on pretty much flat on the ground, chrome wheels, custom interior, you know, not like carbon fiber or stuff, not racy stuff. It's got like leather interior. You know, and then it's got the pattern on the roof and stuff. So yeah, that's definitely mini truck inspired.
Yeah, I think it fits in perfectly. And if they ever felt like, you know, I kind of feel like the underlying like feel of that question is like, you know, well, you know, how do I put it? Like they're feeling like non-inclusive about it. You know, maybe
that's
someone
part,
felt,
that's part
maybe
of
someone made them feel that way.
But that's part of the gamble that you take, right? Mm-hmm. In not building a mini truck, being in a mini truck club, mm-hmm. a mini truck is going to get more attention than a car.
Yeah. Depending on the person, I think. Because when I see like an Accord
overall,
wagon.
Overall.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
When you take the overall situation, mm-hmm. you're bringing a vehicle that's not a mini truck into the realm of mini truck, especially mini truck nationals.
Yeah.
Even the Forbidden Show, we're going to look at the mini trucks for awards way over the cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just kind of a natural thing. You know, they definitely fit in. They definitely belong there. They're definitely part of it, but they are the sub. They're but they're not at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, that's how they've always existed throughout this whole time. Yeah, always like we're having this conversation, maybe not for the first time, but recently now, but this has been a thing ever since like we've been doing this, you know, mm-hmm. but like you said, you were the first, wasn't the, no, not the very first issue. But one of the wasn't the first issue of Grindr had a car on the cover, or was that
had a mini truck on the cover?
It was the green mini truck, the green Toyota, yep. right? Okay.
Yeah, but then we had a Magnum, mm-hmm. you know, a Magnum on the cover. You know, it even bleeds over into the lifted truck stuff because we had lifted trucks in there too,
mm-hmm.
and those aren't necessarily mini truck style. There are mini trucks that are literally mini truck and has lifted trucks. Mini Truck and Magazine used to feature lifted trucks there. That's been part of the culture since, you know, the beginning basically. Mm-hmm. But now you have these like different types of lifted trucks
mm-hmm.
that really aren't mini trucking inspired or anything. So I don't know. It gets weird gray areas. I know like they, with Mini Truck and Nationals, if I was throwing Mini Truck and Nationals, and I know they talked about this, and I don't know why they didn't do it. They were talking about putting all the cars in that front area. That front area where we park.
Oh, okay.
They were talking about like not letting people park there and putting all the cars out there.
Oh, interesting. Which
would have been cool for that show.
That would have been cool for that show, but then like, you know, like Glenn and Kim, you know, wanted to be with a club and stuff. So that would be,
yeah, but
weird.
I get it. But you're, it's Mini Truck Nationals.
I get it.
It's literally in the name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so one show out of the year where you can't park with your club, but you're still repping your club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just like being in a vendor booth, you know, it's the same thing. Like if you're parked in a vendor booth, you're not parked with your club.
Right.
It is what it is. But I think personally me, if I was throwing Mini Truck Nationals, I would have all of the mini trucks parked together.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I personally, and this is just me,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even let full size trucks in.
Oh, well, that's a spicy subject.
It is a spicy subject.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you're allowing 700 trucks in and 1500 apply, I'm going to let 700 mini trucks in. Now, if only 600 mini trucks apply, then the other 100, then I'll start picking. But like, I would want to fill that place with all mini trucks
mm-hmm.
and not C10s and not full size trucks, mini trucks.
Right.
How difficult would that be? Because now you're starting to get into this weird thing where what's a mini truck, what's not a mini truck, mm-hmm. da da da. You're going to make people mad.
Like a 4Runner, is that that's a mini SUV? Like, you know.
Yeah, it's going to
definitely... That's opening up a big can of worms.
It is opening up a big can of worms, but it'd be fun to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, if you don't like it, then you don't have to come. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's Jason's show. Not that Jason's going to do that. This would just be me if I did that.
Yeah, just talking. Yeah,
I would lay it out. I'd be like, this is a mini truck. These years, these vehicles, and these SUVs.
Mm-hmm.
A 4Runner is a mini truck. A Honda CR-V is not a mini truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to have a frame. It's like a Ford Maverick is not a mini truck. It's like, but then you could open up an area like he was talking about with four specialty stuff. And then you can pick like 50 specialties out of the ones that registered and place them. You're like curating it. Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really interesting take on it. I like what you said earlier about how, like, if you are going to take the task of building a car, then you're kind of like taking on I don't think responsibility is the right word, but you're kind of taking on the, what's the right word I'm looking for? Like, you're taking on the possibility of people, like, you have to be ready for people to say that to you. Like, if you're going to go out there and build a vehicle, build a car specifically, then you have to be ready for people to say, like,
you just have to be ready for less attention at a truck show is all it is, you know, because, and it's not anything except the natural thing of you're in a mini truck club with a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people have done that forever with cars and trucks. I personally love them. I think they look so cool. Like last week when we were talking about, you know, when Chelsea got that 98 Civic and we said that is the best Civic, like mid late 90s Honda vehicles are, they just look so good. You know, the early 2000s, but that is like the peak of that body style. And anytime you take one like Duggar out there with his Accord, and it's just like laid out on some cool chrome wheels. Like, it's just a cool looking car. So I dig them. Yeah. I really like them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying that I like them any less than anything else, you mm-hmm. know, like,
oh yeah,
it's just, you just kind of got to say it how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Well, I hope that helped them out. But I just thought that was an interesting thing to talk about. But other than that, we only got a couple more, but,
I think there was another part to that question that we didn't answer though about cars in other countries.
Oh yeah, you answered Kim's second question: is a car easier to bag than a truck? Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Glenn,
and I think that might be a little bit of where, like, if a guy has a truck and a guy has a car, mm-hmm. it's a little bit of a cheat code to bag the car and get in a club.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take a stock Honda and you just throw some air struts in it or bag struts or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just bolt in.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do that with a Toyota pickup.
Right. There's a lot more involved.
There is a lot more involved. So it is kind of a cheat code.
That's true.
Not saying they don't look as good. Not saying whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there is a lot more involved to get a truck to lay on the ground than there is to get a car to lay on the ground.
Definitely. Yeah. So Glenn's other question was, are there any vehicles in other countries that we would love to have here to customize? And like, oh, yeah. There are some really cool vehicles
especially,
everywhere.
Especially when it comes to cars. Because mm-hmm. we got the really lame front wheel drive cars,
mm-hmm.
where if you look at like New Zealand and Australia, they got the really fun all wheel drive cars,
right?
And that we didn't get here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you look at like that stuff, that would be rad to get, is some of those old, like those JDM Japanese all wheel drive cars.
Mm-hmm. Also, my one that I'd want the most is a Australian Raider, which is a Mazda B series SUV.
Yeah, those are
rad. I've seen like two of them. I seen the black one in the south, and then I think I saw one more. Yeah, those are super cool. And then also the Australian Surfs, the two door, which you see them pop up around here every once in a while. Like, they're not too super uncommon.
Oh, the two door 4Runners?
Yeah, two door 4Runners. Surfs. They call them Surfs. In
Australia. We got them here.
Yeah, there's a few.
Obviously they didn't make it as many of them, but.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see
since I tagged Jose and Toyota dudes the other day, he kind of like went on a little spree posting a bunch of Toyotas and Tacomas and stuff like that. Did you see that third gen two door that was laid out? Third gen 4Runner that was a two door that was bagged and body dropped.
No,
I'll send you a picture. I'll send you a picture of it. And we'll put it up here to check.
What color
out.
Is it?
It's brown.
Oh, that's a
is it Tacoma with
it's a Tacoma with the with like a, it's like the toy Blazer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, same idea.
Oh, okay. I saw that and I was like, "Whoa, I've never seen that before."
Yeah.
That's really cool. I've
seen build pictures of it a couple years or like 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And that got me thinking about like the Surfs and the two-door Surfs and stuff like that. But I like the two-door 4Runner Surfs, that like little window that they have. Like, because mm-hmm. they have the big window, but then they have that little tiny window that makes up for the four door, I guess. They're just cool looking.
My buddy in Australia has a really rad one that he's been building for a few years.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Jacko.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from No Regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's rad.
Yeah. Yeah, those, the B series Raider, the Mazda, also the four door Mazda trucks from like Australia and Mexico and stuff like that. Like, yeah, there's a bunch of cool ones out there.
Yeah, those four-door ones get a little funky looking.
Sometimes, like when they got those little short beds on them.
Yeah, they call those dualies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. They call four doors dualies.
Dual cabs.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. We'll finish up with one more here. We've kind of answered that one before. Hold on one second.
Do I have any questions? Let me see. When was the last time you looked in there on there?
Oh, this is just from, I haven't looked at the drop recently. This is from like a couple weeks ago. This is a real quick question that we can ask. Severed for Christ, our buddy Jesse from Severed asks, is there a way to still add people's names to the raffles if we purchase merch at a show? No.
No.
You have to buy them online. Sorry about that.
I've got a couple, actually.
Okay, cool.
This is from our buddy, Kenneth. Mm-hmm. If you sell your bag mini truck and buy a full size truck and bag it, are you still a mini trucker at heart? And that kind of,
that's exactly what we're talking about. And you're talking about K-faring, Kenneth?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you're a mini trucker, dude.
Yeah. 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 You don't have to technically have a mini truck to be a mini trucker. Right. Like you said, it's an attitude.
It's an attitude. It's a culture.
It's a culture. It's just a way of modifying a vehicle, you know? Adam Barnhart, I believe. Yeah, I don't have his full name right here. Hey guys, I have a podcast question. What is the one car or truck that you wish you still had? You know, the one that got away.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, all of my trucks that I've ever had, I've had some sort of attachment to, but they've all been buckets, and the 4Runner's the nicest thing I've had so far. So I really don't care about the other ones.
And every time you do drive the 4Runner, you realize, or take it somewhere. Like when we were standing there and you were loading it up, the morning after Cruise of the Pines. And I was like, this thing's like super legit. Like, no. And then who was I? I was talking to, we're talking about a radio in your truck or something. And I was like, Frank just needs a bump box.
Mm-hmm.
Color matched with the graphics on it, and then you come to a show and then you just you do the latch on the tailgate, and that just sits there sideways in the bed in the back of the vehicle. It would look super sick.
Hold on, you mean like this one?
Yeah, but it needs to have airbrush.
No, hold on, I can't hear you.
Oh yeah,
what?
No, but I'm saying, but it would be airbrushed to match.
No, I know, but yeah. But I got this for that exact reason. I got a blue one so I could just put it in the back seat. Because I got the idea.
Not even, but I'm saying not in the back seat though. Oh, I'm just saying like in the hatch. So if you're at a show, you're laid out, you have the hatch open. You know, I'm thinking like in the future when you have interior in your truck.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to like do anything crazy with your stereo in the bed. Like, you know, how people like mount amps or all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Literally just take that bump box, set it in the rear hatch.
Yeah.
Like kind of like little cockeyed sideways or whatever. And there you go. You don't need to look so sick.
Yeah. That's why I got this one. And I just always forget to bring it with me. So I just end up bumping it was Whitby. When Whitby got in my truck for Cruise of the Pines, like I'm listening to my stereo, my stereo.
I was going to say, that thing probably sounds better than the one in the
car. Oh, yeah. It's way louder than my actual truck because I only have 2 4-inch speakers in the dash. And he's like, is that it? And I was like, yeah, man, that's it.
Yeah, man.
Settle down.
Yeah, calm down, buddy.
Calm down, dude.
Didn't buy this one done.
But yeah, I do miss some of my trucks. I miss my very first truck, which is an S10. I had a 94 S10 was my first bag truck.
Yeah.
I missed my first full size, which was a 91 OBS on hydros. Like, I miss them all, but I don't like.
Probably mostly for the memories. Like, we talked about that before, right? Like,
yeah, the memories. Yeah.
For like the actual vehicle was cool, but if you had that vehicle right now, you'd go,
it's kind of a piece of shit.
It's kind of junk. That's same with mine. Like, my first truck was an 86, and I ruined that truck by doing a bunch of crazy body mods to it and then sold it to Pick Apart for $150.
Yeah.
It's not that I missed the truck, I missed the bad decision that I did with that, you know?
Right. Like, and you know what's funny is, I say this now because it's not really a thing. So who knows if it ever actually came about what I would feel. I don't like, again, with Whitby, we're driving along and he's like, asked me about the truck. I almost felt like it was like it was getting like an audition for their like little crew who buys all the trucks, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's asking me all these questions and he's like, yeah, but You probably just couldn't get rid of this thing just because there's just so sentimental value. I will sell it tomorrow. Like,
yeah,
I know that sounds bad. Like my family, Angie and the kids, have more of an emotional attachment. And like I said, I don't know because I still have it. I don't know how I would feel in that moment. But if you were to give me my hot take opinion, I'd be like, yeah, we were talking about me selling it when I was looking at Jacob's Tacoma.
Well, yeah, I think if the right amount of money came by, because like the right amount of money for your 4Runner is the amount of money to buy a nice Tacoma and have it bagged and body dropped and whatever. Like if you could buy a Tacoma for $5,000, that was super, super nice, or 10 grand, whatever, and then take it to Panda and he did everything. And then you were like, even like you didn't like, you had this 4Runner that's now laid out and super sick and all this stuff. You'd be like, oh yeah, well, I don't even remember the 4Runner. You know what I mean? I know. Because it's a new adventure. But if you sold the 4Runner because you needed the money and then you didn't have anything to replace it with.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Because you're missing the memories you make with that.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Yeah, that's probably what it is. And I've had just so many vehicles over the years. There was one car, and I'm going to put myself out there and be a little vulnerable. I was like probably, I don't know how old you are in like 8th grade or something. It's probably like 8th grade. Anyway, my family had, we had our vintage car lot, which I mentioned before, which we've had all sorts of cars. Well, my dad had this one car. It was a 59 Etzel. And if you don't know what that is, you can Google it. It's a Ford vehicle. It was a 59 Etzel four-door hardtop, which maybe I'm noticing a pattern here. It was pink. It was this bright Pepto-Bismol pink with black interior. And it ran really good, and we used to cruise it all around. And when we sold that one, I got upset. Like, I got really upset when that one sold.
Yeah.
And that was the only car that I was ever, like, superly emotionally attached to. Every other car, no, not really. Just had so many of them.
There's too many cars that I wish I could have versus wish I could bring back.
That's a good point, too. Yeah. That's a really good point, too. I love cars.
Yeah. I don't know if I sent you the TikTok about the toy, like, send you the TikTok about if you can go back in time to the Toyota dealership, which one would you buy? And, there's that. And then me and Dower constantly send each other classified or like Facebook marketplaces, like for this, the other night we were on 90s JDM cars. So it was like 300 Zs and all this stuff. And I'm just like, man,
yeah, there's just too many cars out there to get emotionally attached to any particular one.
And then I say, if I won $1 billion, right? Mm-hmm. If like I had $1 billion in my bank account, would I go buy cars, or would my entire mindset change because I have a billion dollars in my account? Or would I just go, I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
I don't need to. Now I'm just going to I'm just going to go wherever I want. Mm-hmm. I don't have to buy cars anymore. You know what I mean?
Now you're going to hunt elephants because that's the only thing that could get you excited.
Yeah. Or people.
People. People.
Yeah, because you know
Tacomas used to make me really happy. Now I have to hunt.
You've heard that, right? It's like a thing where if you have a BMW, cool. Well, then you're over that, and then you get a Ferrari, and then you're like, okay, well, I'm over this too. Mm-hmm. You get a jet ski, and you're like, and then you get a boat, and you're like, I'm over this. So eventually, if you have an unlimited amount of money, the things that get you off change.
Yeah.
It's like when we talk about the Tundra and you're like, this is the most high tech vehicle. This is amazing. But to someone that has like a way or high tech vehicle, like that's like peasant stuff. Right. But to us, it's like this, but that'll wear off soon. And then we want the next and the next and the next. So that is where I think it was Hostel. Was that movie?
It sounds familiar. I don't know.
So I think that's what it was, but it was basically like really, really rich people paying a lot of money to murder someone.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was basically the thing for Squid Games when that was a thing.
Was that?
Squid Games? Remember that?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of movies that have that same premise, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So, because that's the... Yeah, but in Squid Games, you weren't paying to murder someone.
Well, no, yeah. You were just sort of like...
I'm just saying, like, if you were... Yeah, like, there's a secret phone number you call and a secret thing you go to, and like, because that's the only thing that makes you feel a thing anymore. Because now, nothing like speed, you've gone 200 miles an hour in a car, you've done all this stuff... You can do whatever you want. The only thing left.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is getting dark.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I don't even know what the original question was. Something about cars we
missed. How much does it cost to murder somebody?
No. But yeah. Well, that's it. That's what we got.
That's all we got. That's all
we got. We made it.
We'll see you. Oh, I've got Maggie Valley shirts on the website now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had them on there, but by the time you hear this, they will be shipping. For anyone that ordered them, pre-ordered them, they will ship the day you're listening to this, if you're listening to it Monday.
Yeah, and same with me. Anybody who pre-ordered the Tacoma shirt, it will be shipping today or tomorrow-ish. Yeah. So yeah,
and when are we going to do the? When are we going to do the drawing for the prize that we do not have yet?
I know we don't even.
I think we should do it at the end of this month. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a double din and a backup camera or an amp and some subs. It's going to be audio related.
Okay.
Chris is moving into a new shop right now, so I don't want to bug him. He keeps messaging me and he's like, "Hey, dude, I totally forgot. I'm so sorry."
Oh, okay.
It'll be there. He's just moving and rebuilding his new shop and all this stuff. So I'm not like hounding him or anything.
Okay. Well, yeah. So we'll figure, I don't know. We'll figure that out. We'll talk about it this weekend.
Yeah.
And then we'll hammer out the details. But anyway, in the meantime, livelifecustom.com, grinder-tv.com, all sorts of neat things to buy to win audio equipment from Alan Ed's Escondido.
Yeah. 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 Speaking of that, we'll be at the Unfinished Business Show June 1st.
That's also my anniversary.
Oh, I will be there.
That's also my anniversary weekend.
We had this same thing happen last year, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was.
And you and Angie showed up.
We did.
Yeah. Maybe. So
I don't know.
I will be there. If Frank's there, maybe he's divorced. Maybe. See what's in the parking lot. If there's a Titan in the parking lot or a Thunder in the parking lot.
That's going to be people's gauges. When I pull up to a show and I'm driving the Titan, they're like, oh.
They're going
to
be like, is everything okay at home?
Yeah. Anyway. Bye.
All right.
See you later. Bye.